Philip, I want to tell you a story. And like all good stories, it starts like this. Once upon a time, there was a father. And in case you can't figure that out, that's me. This father had a wonderful little boy. He was very happy. But then one day he found out that his wife was going to have a little baby. So I pray, Lord, if it's your will, give me a little girl. And he did. I was the first person to hold her in my arms. And I looked at her and I said, Lord, make her like her mother. And he did. She was loving and giving and so good and so kind. But then I realized I was getting left out. So I said, Lord, make her like me. And he did. She can drive a truck and a tractor. She can load hay and strip tobacco. Do you realize what you're getting? But at the same time, she was opinionated, emotional, and hard-headed. So I said, Lord, that's enough of that. Make her like you. And he did. He gave her a desire to serve people. She loves people. She gave her life to be a nurse. She's brought people back from the dead. And she's held the hand of people and breathed their last breath. He gave her a heart for missions, and she's trekked all over the world. Pushed canoes up swollen rivers and laid on the floor while bullets whizzed outside so she could tell people about Jesus. But still something was missing. So I said, Lord, make her happy. And she made me. You see that look on her face? I never saw that until she met you. And I'm grateful. Today I'm giving you the best thing I have to give. And I just wanted you to know before I do that how hard me and God's worked to get her ready for you. So Philip, as I give her to you, I don't think you'll mind if I give you one little word of advice. Me and God's worked hard. Don't screw it up.
You may wonder, why in the world are you playing that clip, Pastor? When the topic is talking about our nation, and here's the reason. God has given us a great country. I know it may be a stretch for you, but for a moment, imagine God saying to each one of us, the founding fathers and I have worked really hard to get this country ready for you. Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. And you may say, well, how is this, the United States, a Christian nation? And so we're going to go back and we're going to take a look at God's word and compare that to some of the founding documents. You see, there's a term, and if you're interested in this, you can do some research on it, a term called the golden thread. And as this country was being formed, there was a lot of times in which it looked like we are sunk as a nation. And it's not going to make it. And just God would show up and amazing things would happen. And we made it through. That's called the golden thread, God's providence in the founding of this country. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, they're putting together a gift for the poor believers in Judea. to support them during their time of need. And I think what Paul writes there is applicable to us. Verse 20. I want to avoid any criticism in the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. This country is a gift to us, and I think we have to have that same idea. We want to do what's right in the eyes of God and in the eyes of men. As followers of Jesus, we've received this gift of a country, and we need to do what's right in God's eyes. Paul wrote to the gift or to the church in Ephesus, and it was a very pagan culture. And he said something that we need to hear and heed this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. We need to be wise and make the most of every opportunity and understand what the Lord wants us to do. This series is called Being Wise as Serpents. Snakes have transparent eyelids, and they're always watching. And so one of the topics that we're looking at is our nation. Why is this nation the way it is? Is this nation a Christian nation? And so this morning, we're going to narrow our focus to simply comparing God's word to the founding documents of our country to see if there are similarities. Notice what Ben Franklin said. The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, it is probable that an empire can rise without his aid. We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build, they labor in vain who build it. A reference there to Psalm 127. So, let's take stock of our blessings as a country. What makes this country great? Isn't this country just like every other country? That's a good question. Let's explore that from a scriptural perspective. Amos 5, 14 and 15. Notice what God said. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you. As you have said, hate evil and love good. Establish justice in the gate. Remember from last week, the gate was where the government was, the elders in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. And then in Zechariah 7, 9, this is what the Lord Almighty says, administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. 1 Timothy 2, starting in verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made on behalf of all people, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may live a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And in Jeremiah 29:7, it says this, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I send you in exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. Now, you've heard all those passages. Now, let's see if you can hear echoes of those passages in this paragraph called the preamble of our Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, to do what? Establish justice. Sound familiar? Ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense. Promote the general welfare. and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States. For Romans 13:4 says, the authorities are God's servant for your good. It's for our good. They promote the general welfare. That's a good thing, right? Where did they get that concept? From God's word. It talks about the blessings of liberty, the blessings of freedom. Where did that concept of liberty come from? Leviticus 25:10. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to his family property, each to his own clan. And you may think, Pastor, you're just comparing words from the Constitution and you're cherry-picking words from Scripture. They didn't have that Scripture in mind when they wrote the founding documents. What are you trying to push over on us? You may be thinking that. And you may say, do you have any evidence that the founding fathers were thinking of Leviticus 25 when they founded this country? Yes, I do. Look, what's that? It's the Liberty Bell. What's on the Liberty Bell? Zoom in a little bit. Leviticus 25:10. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all inhabitants thereof. That is what is on our Liberty Bell. That's why it's called the Liberty Bell. That is from Scripture. That's what our founding fathers were thinking about. That's why they wrote the documents they did. It was because of that. What does liberty mean? It means freedom. We have freedom as Americans. And so because we have freedom, don't mess it up. God and our founding fathers worked really hard to get this country started. Don't mess it up. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? And so the founding fathers understood that, right? That verse never made it on a Hallmark card, right? Instead, what do they say on graduation cards? Oh, follow your heart. No, look. Our founding fathers knew that. So what they did is they developed this thing called checks and balances. You remember that from government class in high school? And the legislative branch has checks on the executive, and the executive has checks on the legislative, and the executive has checks on the judicial, and the judicial has checks on the legislative and executive, and they all can keep each other in balance. Why? Because of this passage of Scripture that said the heart is deceitfully wicked. That's why they put our country together that way. The human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Listen to what John Adams wrote. To expect self-denial from men when they have a majority in their favor and consequently power to gratify themselves is to disbelieve all history and universal experience. It is to disbelieve divine revelation and the Word of God, which informs us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. There is no man so blind not to see that to talk of founding a government upon a supposition that the nations and great bodies of men left to themselves will practice a course of self-denial is either to babble like a newborn infant or to deceive like an unprincipled imposter. John Adams, what was he saying? He was saying, we understand that if you let government, you let government to men who can do whatever they want, it's going to go downhill. I don't know if you've ever seen that happen in a country before. I know we have, right? And that's why we have checks and balances in our country. It was based on God's word. That's what they looked to. How are we going to put documents together so that these people living together will do well? They'll live quiet, tranquil lives where they have freedom. We have built-in accountability. We need that. I need that. You need that. Thank God that we have accountability. Have you ever wondered why we swear or affirm an oath? Where did that come from? And normally, when there's an oath, they raise the right hand, they place the other hand on the Bible, and they recite the oath, and they conclude it with, "So help me God." Where does that come from? Psalm 106:26. "Therefore he raised his hand and swore to them that he would make them fall in the wilderness." Isaiah 62:8. "The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm." Deuteronomy 10:20. "You must fear the Lord your God, worship him, and cling to him. Your oaths must be in his name alone." And so the founding fathers viewed the oath-taking clauses of the Constitution as inherently religious, with elements reflecting specific biblical practice. Why do we have oaths? We are accountable for our words and our actions before God. And that's what they're saying. When I'm in a court and I'm testifying, I'm making myself accountable for what I say and for my actions to God. We are accountable. And they wrote that into our founding documents. So how do we choose our leaders? Exodus 18, starting in verse 20. "Teach them God's decrees and give them his instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives, but select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,150 and 10. They should always be available to solve the people's common disputes and have them have the major cases to you. Bring the major cases to you. Let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves. They will help you carry the load, making the task easier for you." I don't know if you know this, some people are better leaders than others. There are some people who can capably lead 1,000, some who can capably lead 100, some 10, some 50. And so Scripture makes that clear. Noah Webster, the founder largely responsible for that part of the Constitution, specifically cited Exodus 18:21 in support of republicanism, as did the Declaration signers John Witherspoon and Benjamin Rush. Deuteronomy 17, starting in verse 14, says, "You are about to enter the land the Lord your God is giving you. When you take it over and settle there, you may think we should select a king to rule over us like other nations around us. If this happens, be sure to select a king as king, the man the Lord your God chooses. You must appoint a fellow Israelite. He may not be a foreigner." And the founding fathers looked at that passage of Scripture and they said, because of that, our president has to be born in the United States. He cannot be a foreigner. They took what they found in God's word and they put it in our founding documents. So we are to have capable leaders. Another thing, I didn't realize that this was the case. It was common in European countries to punish an entire family for the criminal behavior of just one family member. For example, if just one person in the family committed treason, then the bloodline of the direct family will become corrupt or attainted. And for generations after that, no member of the family could own property or have other civil rights. So if my great-great-great-grandfather was convicted of treason, I couldn't own property. Does that sound right? What's God's word say about that? Ezekiel 18:20, the person who sins is the one who will die. The child will not be punished for the parent's sin, and the parent will not be punished for the child's sin. Righteous people will be rewarded for their own righteous behavior, and wicked people will be punished for their own wickedness. So the Constitution, echoing what it says in the Bible, says, no attainder of treason shall work corruption or blood or forfeiture except during the life of the person. It's in Article 3, Section 3, Clause 2. But it also prohibits any bills of attainder. Article 1, Section 9, Clause 3, Section 10, Clause 1. So we have specific justice. We have specific justice in our country. The Constitution closes with the attestation clause, Article 7, declaring that it was written when? In the year of our Lord, 1787. The Constitution deliberately dated itself in a way that it measures itself from the birth of Christ. They went back and said, that's where we'll start. So who is the Constitution for? John Adams. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. The Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. Why are there so many people today that are saying we need to get rid of our Constitution and write something different? They're not moral. They don't like the origins of this founding document. It gives people individual rights. It holds people to account. And they don't like that, and they want to come up with something different. 55 of the 56 signers of the Constitution were Bible-believing, church-attending followers of Jesus. There are more ways that the Bible influenced our laws, but let me conclude with one quote from the Declaration of Independence. It's the final paragraph. Guess what else it is? It's a prayer. They closed it with a prayer. Notice this. I've never noticed this before. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world. Who's the Supreme Judge of the world? God Almighty. They're appealing to God. Appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they may have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all the acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, again, referring to God Almighty, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That is just a few of the ways in which our founding documents were founded, were put together based on what Scripture says. These men left their countries because of religious persecution. And so they came together to form a country where they could freely worship God as followers of Jesus. Does a fish know what water is? A fish always swims in water. There's always water around the fish. The fish never understands what water is because it's all they've ever known. Do we know what freedom really is? Do we understand what freedom really is? Because we live in this freedom for so long. It's all we've ever known, living in this free country. If you venture other places, perhaps you've seen how other people are treated in other countries. We have an incredible gift. Here's the bottom line. Give thanks to God as you utilize our freedoms. We have freedom. So what are we free to do? We're free to share the good news. We're free to worship God. There's nobody at our doors breaking them down to say you can't worship Jesus. That is because our founding fathers, under the providence of God, have provided a great gift for us, the United States of America. And if you don't think it's that great, why are there millions of people that are trying to get in here all the time? There are people that, when they immigrate, they're not trying to get out of here and go to Iran. Where are they going? They're trying to come here. God has given us something great. And as followers of Jesus, we need to thank Him for it and then use that freedom to share the good news. So, how are you going to use the freedom you have to share the good news? How are you going to make a difference for the kingdom of God with the freedoms you have to make a difference in this country? Because we have freedom, we tend to get soft. Some of the best churches in the world are when they're in the minority faith. Egypt, getting together with followers of Jesus in foreign countries where it's sort of illegal. The only people that are there are people that are totally committed to Jesus, and they don't care what happens if they get caught. If you've never been in that situation, you don't realize what we have and the power of unity in the body of Christ. I'm so grateful for what we have, but let's not take it for granted, and let's use it to further the kingdom of God. Would you stand with me as we pray together? God has blessed us. Don't mess it up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your hand on this country. Father, I pray this carefully, but I pray that you shake us up, that you help us to realize all that you've given us, and that we use it to maximum advantage for your kingdom's sake. We have freedom to gather together like we are doing this morning. We have freedom to talk to other people that we come in contact with. We have the freedom to say, we love you. Have you ever thought of Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Can I pray for you in the name of Jesus? We have that freedom. Father, help us to use that freedom to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.